you guys. They're like, what are you guys doing at Sidetracks on Sunday? What the fuck is going on? Shit, is it the end times?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it's because we went out last night and we didn't get a chance to watch a movie. So we didn't have a movie to talk about. So I said, fuck it. We'll just do another Sidetrack show. Plus, on Friday night Sidetrack show, you were falling asleep and like left before that.
Yeah. Oh, Pat fucking contacted me. Sent me a DM, said that was the best show of all time. He said that him and his wife were fucking laughing the whole day. I started kind of nodding out, and Jenny's fucking getting bitchy on me. And then fucking Con is like, man, why don't you pack up your shit and get the fuck off the show? So the audience kicked me off of the show. I was like, yeah. Well, it had caught up to me, you know what I mean? I'd been drinking all day.
Yeah, that'll happen. You drink it all day, and then like you weren't like crabby, but you were kind of like not really with it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I slept for an hour and then woke up and did the show.
Yeah,
and I never really could wake up, and you know, because I was fucking inebriated. But what happens with me is like either I crash and fall asleep. Or I'll just, if I keep the fucking dosage level over a long period of time, I just won't be able to stay awake.
Yeah.
You know, that's I couldn't stay awake. And then Jenny, she's getting all fucking hyper. She's enjoying the show.
Yeah, I was having a good time.
I'm 3 hours into this shit, and I'm going, man, I gotta get off the show.
It wasn't even 3 hours, I don't think. It was only like 2.5 hours.
I could only make it like 2 hours. It happens, man. You never know what's going to happen on this show, but it's real. It's drama.
It's real. Drama.
Jimmy never knows. Me on the show.
We never know either.
She'll talk shit about me probably. I didn't even hear it.
I didn't talk
you
shit about
talking
you.
Shit about me? No. Like, that worthless motherfucker in there. Leaving me on the show.
I'm pretty sure I didn't
For all
say
I know, like hundreds of dollars worth of super chats coming in. Once I leave. And they're like, ching. Like, yeah, fuck that motherfucker. Tila fucking sends 1,000.
I'm pretty sure I would have remembered if that happened.
All
right. I don't think I said anything mean about you after. I was just kind of like, oh, well. And I think I just answered a couple questions, and I don't mind being on the live show by myself, but it's a lot easier like when you're here.
The Con of Ocelan's in there right now, man. He's already hit the great reset. He was eating fucking crickets today. He goes, look what I'm eating. He's down in Mexico eating fucking broiled crickets in a bag.
I thought that was kind of a thing. That's a thing.
They eat them in Mexico.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's telling me, you know, is there any seasoning on those things? You know, he says, no, they're like shrimp, you know, eat them whole, wings and all.
Yeah, I've heard they taste kind of shrimpy.
Yeah, I couldn't eat that around my dad. My dad would fucking get mad. Man, don't eat that. Don't eat. What are you eating, crickets? That's bait.
He eats turkey necks, crickets, so who's he to judge?
My dad would be like, every one of them crickets I can catch a fish with, step aside, give me that cricket. Get a hook. Step aside, you don't know what you're doing. I'll turn that whole bag of crickets into a whole bucket of fish. Hold on.
What kind of son did I raise?
Yeah,
eating
yeah,
bugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eating bugs. This ain't Thailand. That's how my dad rejected that shit.
I can imagine it.
When my dad was in the Navy, he used to go to Thailand a lot. He's on the Yorktown. He lives in Yorktown. He goes, boy, that's some good pussy down there. That's what he was saying. That's how much you pay for it. Oh, not much. Not much. You didn't pay much. He's a sailor, you know.
It's real reasonable.
Yeah, he's a sailor.
Reasonably priced pussy.
Yeah, they just pull up a port and just start buying pussy. Not buying it, renting it, you know. Gonna go for a ride on that.
That would be a funny shirt, too, reasonably priced pussy.
Yeah.
Although, I don't, like, if a girl wears it, you might get yourself into trouble, so you better not.
Yeah.
DJ Maniac
he was telling me a story one time. He was in I don't remember if it was Thailand or fucking Philippines. I think it was Philippines. And he goes in the bar, he starts getting drunk, and fucking there's girls in there, and he and his buddy were having a fucking good time fucking shooting the shit with the bartender. And the bartender fucking steps off, and some girls get up on him like that. He starts making out with this hot girl, and the fucking bartender comes up and goes, no, lady boy. He's like, what? Lady boy. But then reach down there, and this fucking guy, and he's like, nah.
So what you're trying to tell me is your dad knows all there is to know about the crying game?
I guess so. Oh, yeah. Bartender saved him. Lady boy.
Yeah. Hey, maybe your dad was into that. Don't judge.
I don't think he was.
I'm just kidding.
DJ, if he was into it, he would have told me the story.
That's true. It would have just been like, whatever.
Yeah.
DJ Maniac was talking about how he got Vampire's Kiss, the DVD, for $1.25 at Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
We really need to do that movie one of these days. He says no commentary track. That's a shame. Yeah. Gotta wait for the Blu-ray coming out. It's, man, I want to watch that again. That movie is batshit insane. Nicolas Cage is batshit insane.
Somebody said they wanted me to see The Mummy.
Yeah, the Brendan Fraser ones. I told you, you would like them.
I don't have it.
You would like them. There's just two, right? Isn't it just The Mummy and The Mummy Returns?
Yeah, somebody sends them to me on DVD or Blu-ray, I'll watch.
Ooh, he's pimping for free shit.
Yeah, you gotta pimp. I can pimp that shit out.
Why
would I like them?
I don't know, it just seems like the kind of thing that you would like.
Okay.
It's kind of like a funny, it's like an adventure. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of something that, like, recent that it's...
I never heard of them.
Well, it's kind of like, it's Indiana Jonesy, but it's also, like, kind of funny, too. Like, they're really just entertaining. They're, like, just action-adventure type movies.
Okay, I never even heard of them.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of old people, because you're talking about your dad. Can we talk about the lady at the restaurant yesterday?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Man, I was sitting there fucking...
We went to Oyster Trough again yesterday for lunch.
Oyster Trough. We were the first people in there, pretty much.
Yeah, we got there at like 11:30.
Yeah, right when it opened.
Right when it opened.
And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of other people showed up. And they were all old people. So we hit the old wave. All right.
Well, see, old people always go early. That's why I'm always kind of like weirded out by going really... Like, I like to go really early because it's not crowded, but I was like,
It was crowded full of old
people. Shit that old people do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like the early bird specials and all that kind of crap. Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have that there.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that old people like to go...
As soon as it opens.
And have meals early. Yeah. But we're old people too, I guess, because we did the exact same thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at Jenny and all of a sudden this couple comes in... And this dude's holding this woman back, and she's dragging him across the floor. And she's going, hello, hey, I love you. And I'm going, what? What the fuck is going on? And it looks like she was getting ready to fall over, and the dude's grabbing her like that. And she busts away and drags him across about 5 feet, and she grabs a hold of Jenny and starts kissing her on the side of the face, going, I love you, I love you. And I'm going, what the fuck is going on?
Well, because I'm looking at her like, do I know these people?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Who are you?
And he pulls her away, and then they go to...
She was like kissing me all over my face, and I'm just like, who are you?
And then she goes, I love her. I kissed her. I'm going, what the fuck? And realize that she's just fucking out of her mind with some kind of...
Dementia. Yeah.
She was just telling everybody that she loved everybody, and she looked normal. You wouldn't know. Just looking at
her. She was with her husband, and there was one other older, one other old guy.
They're trying to keep her at the table.
Yeah, because she kept wanting to, like, run around and...
Yeah, run around, say hi to everybody.
And say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And she's, I love you, I love you. Like, every time the waitress walked by, I love you, darling.
Yeah, it's funny.
I love you, too.
Yeah. It was something else.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came in, like, it was just, I didn't see them come in, because I was sitting with my back to the door, so I guess you saw them come in, but, like, all I knew was, like, all of a sudden this huge old lady face was, like, in my face, and she's, like, grabbing me and, like, kissing the side of my face and stuff, and I'm like...
Who is this woman?
I'm like, who are... Well, for a second, I thought maybe I knew her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's a teacher or somebody I used to work with or something like that. But I was like, who is this? I can't place it.
She was out of her mind.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until, like, a couple seconds later. So I was like, well, that was entertaining. But, so...
She was almost combative, you know?
Yeah.
She's trying to, you know, if she wanted to do it, she was going to do it, whether there were fucking two or three people holding her down or not. And she wouldn't even complain about being held down. She'd just continue to fight and go in that direction.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going this way.
I'm going over here, and they're holding her back. And the old men they didn't warn me.
Yeah.
Like, when she was pulling one of them across the fucking road, and I'm going, what the fuck is going on here? They're like a dog on a leash just pulling it back. It was like that. And he didn't go, watch out, she's, you know, got dementia. I was forced to figure that out on my own. So he's not warning me or anything, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, watch out, she's lost her mind. You know what I mean?
Like,
She's on a rampage, you know. Duck. There's nothing, you know.
It was pretty fucking crazy.
Once they got her in the booth, she was all
right,
though.
Yeah, they sat at the table, like, right behind us, of course, so we could hear her.
She'd be talking and saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah, she just kept saying the same things.
And then she was asking him about his wife, and that was his wife.
Yeah.
She was asking her husband about his wife.
Yeah.
And she forgot that he... She thought she was single.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah, she thought she was a single woman.
They did. Yeah, they came in a little bit after us, but and the restaurant is short staffed, so they were pretty slow.
Yeah.
But they had a sign on the front that said, "Hey, we're short staffed," cuz they said the owner that was usually there, he had to do something else, but then he came later.
Yeah.
And so they were like, "So it's going to be a little while." They were warning everybody, but it's like they gave them their food first because I guess they wanted to get them out of there as quickly as possible. So that was like fine with me.
Yeah, I had that whitefish dinner. It was fried fish. It was like fish and chips.
Yeah,
but I didn't have chips. I just had onion rings and hush puppies. Man, shit was good.
Yeah,
it's like $14.
I got a whitefish sandwich.
Yeah,
with French fries. And I was thinking it was going to be, like, a sandwich, like, maybe a little bit bigger than like a McDonald's sandwich. Mm. It comes there, and the piece of whitefish is literally this big.
Yeah, almost a foot long.
And it was, like, and it's laying across this, like, hoagie roll, like, toasted hoagie roll. I had to eat it with a knife and fork. I couldn't pick it up like a sandwich and eat it, but it was, and I also couldn't finish it. I had to bring half of it home and eat it later, because it was just, I was, like... I'm not complaining because it was delicious. I'm just saying I didn't expect it to be that big.
The trough. The oyster trough.
Yeah, TROFF.
Yeah, it's in, what's the name of that place? Lake Mary?
What's the name of that? Wait, is it Mount Dora?
Mount Dora. I think it's Mount Dora.
Yeah, I think it's Mount Dora.
It's only a couple miles up the road here.
Yeah, I don't remember how many miles away it is. But yeah.
There's not much to look at, just the damn lime green. Old diner looking.
Yeah, thing. We showed that video of it.
It's
the
good,
first time
though.
That we went. Yeah, they got good food there.
Yeah, real good.
Oh, and I had oyster chowder too.
Yeah.
And that tasted like,
smelled really good.
It had like whole like oysters in there. It wasn't no little like chopped up stuff, and it tasted like fresh, like they had just made it. But yeah, it was really good. So yeah, we did that. And then we went to Mannequins last night. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see what they tried to do before. The sort of more goth industrial night is Friday night at Mannequins. Saturday night is the same DJ, but for a long time it was called What the Fuck Saturdays, where they would just basically play anything, like anything anybody asked for. So it's like, if you want to play like the Bee Gees or something, like, you know, it's whatever, or metal or whatever. But since iBar/Barbarella is not... downtown anymore since they moved locations. So Mannequins is now trying to get the iBar Saturday night crowd. So the music is going more, which I'm happy about. The music is actually going more in a 80s new wave post-punk direction. So the music last night was outstanding. I think I danced to like fucking, I don't know. I danced to like almost every song. Like, once he was playing, like, so much good shit. He played the Cramps, and he played fucking, he played a bunch of Echo and the Bonnie Men, and, like, some, like, weird, like, he played Telegram Sam, like, the Bauhaus song. I was like, wow, I haven't heard that in forever. In a club, it's, you know. But he just played all kind of really good shit. It was really, really good music.
Yeah, fucking... Hornets and the Count of Otzlan are in there talking. They're both talking about TJ. Hornet's saying that fucking Gabe's busting his balls. He crosses the border to do work down there. He's an American that works in Tijuana or goes there a lot. He lives right on the border. And fights with the border bums. One of them named is Gabe, and he fucking records it, puts it on his channel. You see, you just go over there and click
Gabe's
his
the
channel.
Border bum.
Yeah, he's just a bum at the border. And he fights with him, and fucking, it is hilarious. Bum begs from him. He's not really a bum. He's kind of like what they would call in Brazil, what they call a tour guide. He's a dude that fucking hangs out around the taxi stands, where foreigners show up and tries to hook you up with girls or bars or just anything you need. He's the local guy, who kind of guides you, I guess. You know, he's one of those type of dudes. They're just kind of a jack of all trade, just a dude trying to make money off of you. And then they're going there saying that a bunch of Ukrainian white girls are fucking being refugees and hopping the border right now. Getting, I didn't know about that.
It's getting warm in here.
Yeah, it is getting kind of warm. I think about turning it in.
Well, it was cold earlier. That's why I put my little jacket on. It was nice last night. It was, when we left Mannequins, I think it was like 48 degrees. It was nice and cool.
Those coyotes are going to make a whole lot of money off them white women. They're worth a lot of money. They're going to be selling them. I wouldn't fucking go down there. I'd have stayed in Ukraine.
Noel says, Jenny, did you ever eat a traditional British breakfast when you were there? Yes, I did, many times. You know what? I have to say, one of the weirdest things pertaining to breakfast in the UK, and I know this isn't the traditional English or the full English or whatever, because I actually really do like that. It's not that different from ours. It's just a couple different things. But one of the weirdest things that I saw people eating for breakfast over there was like canned spaghetti on toast.
Ah, terrible.
And I was like, that's not even good for lunch. I mean, much less... I couldn't face eating that first thing in the morning. Or that, because a lot of them eat beans on toast, too. I mean, I guess it's not weird in other parts of the world, like, to eat that for breakfast, like, to eat beans for breakfast. But I don't know. I guess to an American, it's weird. Because we have a particular kind of breakfast food, and...
Con says, like, there are a lot of Ukrainians here now. Okay. How much do they want for one?
Why are you in the market?
Yeah, I'll buy a couple of them. Yeah.
Oh, poopy.
I'll have them around here working, doing yard work and shit.
What you doing, little?
Pookie's got her,
Oh, my goodness.
I wish you could see her.
She's got her mint toy.
And she's just... And then, like, kicking it with her back feet and stuff. She loves that fucking thing. That one's getting kind of grubby. I have to get her... I have a new one on a card over there, but I'm not going to give it to her until that one's torn up.
Yeah, you having fun?
Con saying that the Mexican dudes are buying them up.
Yeah, baked beans on toast. Yeah. Yeah, I think beans on toast was more common, but I did see some people eating, like, spaghetti on toast. Like, canned spaghetti on toast. Like, fucking... Not even Chef Boyardee. It was kind of, I think it was Heinz. Because that's, we have Heinz over here too, but that's like a, it's a big brand over there. Like the beans and everything. No beans or jam, yeah. I don't know. I don't consider beans a breakfast food.
No, that's something that came up out of desperation.
Yeah.
That's just because that's what they had in England. They were eating canned beans. No seasoning or anything. And what they're talking about is they're talking about those canned beans and the tomato sauce that's kind of like what we would call beanie weenie, but without the weenie. See? It's just beanie. Beanie weenie without the weenie. See? I know exactly what they're talking about. Bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Bottom of the barrel.
Beanie weenie. It's just beanie.
Bottom of the barrel. And then they're fucking pouring that on a plate and trying to eat that for breakfast. I fucking feel bad for them.
Why would you put it over, like, toast and make your toast all soggy?
Yeah, terrible idea.
That's grody.
That shit's only good for one thing, for making baked beans. What you do with that beanie... Because you can't eat no fucking weenie.
The weenie in it makes it better.
No.
It really doesn't.
Doesn't really make it much better. Okay. What you do is you empty a couple of those cans in a big old glass bowl that's oven safe. You might want to put four cans in there. And put a couple big old heaping tablespoons of fucking dill relish or sweet relish. You can put that in there. And then like two tablespoons of yellow French's mustard, you know, put that in there. And then about a half a fucking cup or between a half a cup to a cup of brown sugar in it. And then make, squeeze a little bit of ketchup in it. Maybe like a tablespoon or two. And then stir it all together and bake it. And reduce it down so it becomes thick. When it comes out, it'll be real good. it'll be darker. It'll kind of have a sweetness to it. You won't taste the relish or the mustard or any of that really. It all just kind of vanishes. It just kind of blends in together. You take that, you scoop it out of the bowl, out of that big bowl, and you put it into a smaller bowl or a side, you know, like it's a side dish, and put a dollop of sour cream on it. It's good. Yeah, that's what you do with that. Other than that, the other thing that you do with those cans of beans is you take that can of bean, you put it in your right hand, you throw that shit in the fucking garbage.
I was just gonna say. That's what you do. Or throw it at someone you don't like.
Yeah.
Optionally.
Yeah. You use that to throw it at the fucking riot police in the fucking riot. They're carrying that can. It's part of their trade craft. Because they can't fucking charge you for carrying a weapon if it's food. So
yeah, like what? It's just a can of beanie weenies, except without the weenies.
Well, okay. I'm going to start talking about fucking survival food and shit.
Well, hang on. I want to, like, because I wanted to say, like, Tila is here.
Tila's
and
here.
Says, you guys are doing sidetracks on Sunday? I'm like, yeah. It's just because we went out last night and we're not drunk right now, I promise. We may be hungover, but not drunk. And,
you missed it, Tila.
And,
I got kicked off my own show, Friday.
Yeah. Friday.
I got kicked off my own show.
I didn't kick you off.
The crowd kicked me off. The con kicked
me off.
See,
so you can't blame that on me.
I said, Tom, why don't you just go ahead and leave the show? Said, yeah.
Go to bed, old man.
I was falling asleep. Yeah. As soon as I left, all the fucking super chats started coming in. Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah,
that's totally
and
what
I
happened.
Said, and I said right here earlier, I said, T said $1,000 super chat.
After you left.
After I left. She's like, fuck that. Fuck a white boy.
Tila said, you didn't get kicked off. I was there. You left, my bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm blaming them, though.
He can't, he can't take responsibility for his own actions. Always has to be. Shit, he blames... He does... It's jokingly, but he blames me for, like, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So...
That's how my mind works.
Yeah. You did it, Jenny. I'm like, look, I wasn't even here. What are you talking about?
It's genetic.
So...
Yeah.
So now, like, I started doing that to Pookie. Like, every time something happens, like, the power goes out or something. Pookie, what did you do?
Yeah, he's just, I don't know.
I didn't do it. okay, yeah. But, that's what we're doing. Because we went out last night, and so we didn't watch a movie. We didn't have a movie to talk about. And then Tila said, Jenny, you look pretty. Thank you. Last night, I had a guy who wanted me to teach him how to dance.
Yeah, that was fucking funny.
He was, like, trying to hit on me later, and then he was talking about how old he was, and I'm like, bro, how old are you? And he said 38. I was like, you don't know from old, bitch. Yeah. Like, I'm way older than you. Good night, though. I mean, that club is popping off. We got there at, like, 9:30, and it was already half full, and then it was just, like, fucking packed.
Yep.
It was packed last night.
Man, I went down to Publix today, and there's fucking... It's getting expensive, and it's getting expensive to buy food. All that shit's true, what they're saying. 18 eggs was $5. A couple months ago, man, it was like $2. You could get a dozen eggs for like $1 something here.
Have they restocked at the Dollar General? Because I thought
they're
were
not restocking hardly over there. That's
I saw them restocking stuff other day, and then I saw
cookies.
I saw
not cookies.
That's all that matters.
I'm just looking at those cookies.
No cookies, goddammit.
Yeah.
I saw them restocking some stuff, and then when we were coming back from Oyster Trough, I saw a big Dollar General semi that was heading to the store, so I'm assuming they were bringing new shit. But I don't know. I haven't been there in a couple of days. So
cheese is high. Eggs are high over there. The only thing that's still kind of low is, like, their Wonder Bread is still $1 for a loaf, but the name brand stuff is, like, $1.50, $1.60. And a lot of the selection is going away. A little pack of... I'm doing, like, alternate stuff. Like, a little pack of pepperoni. They wanted $5 for that. A thing of Jimmy Dean sausage. You know, the little ones that are only that big. I think it was, you could get 2 for $8. That's not a good price. Those things were worth $1.90.
You know what I learned? That is actually called a chub.
The chub? Yeah. I know it well. I deal with it on a daily basis.
Well, I thought I was watching one of those videos, like those extreme budget, like we're going shopping at Dollar Tree and like making like a week's worth of food for $10 or whatever. And one of them had said they bought one of those little Jimmy Dean sausage things for a dollar, and they called it a chub, and I'm like, are they just calling it that, like, to be funny? Or, but then I saw another unrelated video that also said that. I'm like, oh, I guess that's what they're called. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That sounds dirty. It's a chub of sausage.
Yeah. Gas is still kind of reasonable here. It's not $6 a gallon like it is.
We got some last night, but I didn't notice how much it was.
It was, yeah, I didn't even look.
Because we only put like $10 in it. Because yeah, we don't drive that much.
No, we don't drive that much.
But we put some in last night because we were going to Mannequins.
Yeah,
so.
And my motorcycle gets real good. Both of my bikes get really good gas mileage. So I don't have to worry about it that much. If I really have to go somewhere, I could ride that if it gets rough. But no, man, I'm starting to look at the damn local farms. We passed that local farmer again, and he was fucking selling chickens and eggs. And dead rabbits. I got, you know, he's growing rabbits in there. He had all kinds of. I'm just gonna start getting a relationship with those dudes.
Well, yeah, you should.
So
you probably
know who
get
they
like,
are. What, yeah. What they have. Because I want to see how much a rabbit is. Rabbits grow quickly. And chickens, you can. If the HOA allowed chickens, they don't allow chickens. But if this shit fucking starts getting real bad, people are gonna start asking to have chicken coops. I'll have some chickens are easy taken care of. They just let them out during the day. Fucking hawks get some of them, but they breed quickly. And every day you get a shit ton of eggs. You can't even keep up with the eggs. I used to take care of Dr. Matt's chickens. He must have had about 10 chickens. 10, 15 chickens. And it was almost 2 dozen eggs. It seemed like to be about a dozen eggs a day.
Yeah, because they were just like, they were free range and wandering around like laying eggs
just
all over the place.
Eggs. I couldn't find all the damn eggs. Just
yeah, you had to. Me. Yeah, you'd have to go like searching for them like a fucking Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, they're laying eggs. they're laying eggs inside the fucking horse feeders.
Yeah,
I gotta move the damn hay out of the way and eggs in there. And then the chickens want to fight. No, 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 no.
My babies.
Yeah, they're trying to sit on the egg and you're like, get the fuck out. No, my egg. Fucking funny, man. They had one feeder I didn't know about. It was in an empty stall, and I couldn't see it because it was covered by some shit. Those chickens were sneaking in there and laying eggs on that same feeder. That whole feeder had about 2 dozen eggs in it with a chicken sitting on top, trying to hatch them all. Them things had been in there forever, you know what I mean? Just trying to... Fucking, she was dreaming. She didn't make enough to eat. Fucking,
look at all the babies.
Yeah,
I got.
Look at all these babies. Shit was fucking funny. So I didn't know what to do with those eggs. I had to throw all those eggs out. But I'd collect probably about a dozen eggs a day, huh? You were there.
Yeah.
But at least. And that was
at
only,
least.
And that was
just the ones you found.
That was only ones I found. And real quick, you know, in the barn, he had a refrigerator sitting in there, and I was stacking them eggs up in there every day, and you'd have like fucking, he must have had 3 cases of eggs. You couldn't eat them all. You couldn't use that many eggs. You'd have to sell them.
Yeah.
Just free eggs. I fed them. Had to feed them some chicken feed. But they were free-range chickens. They would have survived even without that feed. They were just eating bugs and eating all kinds of shit.
Yeah, it was a big piece of property.
Big piece of property.
Very rural. So
not
they
as
just,
big as this one.
No, but they just, like, wandered around everywhere. Like,
and,
eating whatever.
And, you know, some of them get eaten, but they reproduce so quickly. You're like, hey, man, that's an extra chicken.
Who are you?
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? How'd you get hatched? You know? Like that. Somebody hatched a chicken because, you know, I had orders not to let them hatch chickens, but they're just, you couldn't stop them. It'd be a chick sitting there. Where the fuck did you come from?
What's that little baby chicken?
Yeah.
Do you remember when at our old house there was that farm, like, that was along the path and they had a bunch of chickens?
Yeah.
And those little chickens would escape. They liked to, they found this little hole in the fence. So they liked to go as a gang. Like, all of them, they would go, we're going under the wall. Yeah. And they would go under the wall and, like, wander around on the path, like, looking at everybody, like, woo, we're out.
Yeah.
It was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, it's a chicken gang.
Yep.
They busted out again. Until, well, I think they eventually had the fence fixed. Like, they figured out how they were getting out, but...
But that farm where they're growing those rabbits over there, that was a pony farm. At one time.
Yeah.
So, they must have... ponies must have not been making any money, so he just went to food. Which, that's the future, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, yeah, I kind of feel like... Well, I mean, ponies and horses and stuff like that, that's kind of like a more luxury item. Yeah,
luxury item.
So, you know, it's probably
better.
That's
for little rich girls riding those little ponies. Now, if there's no fuel and shit, horses are the ultimate all-terrain vehicle.
True.
Yeah, and you don't have to give them any fucking... There's only two things that will survive the fucking apocalypse, the Mad Max apocalypse. Horses and BMX bicycles.
Yeah, I was going to say bicycle. That would be my thing. Because you don't have to feed a bicycle.
No, and they're silent.
Yep.
And you have total control over them.
Yep.
Horse, you don't really have a control. The horse will try to think for itself all the time. You know, I could go cross country, jump fences. I was in the Hunter Jumper fucking association since I was a little kid. You know, I grew up riding horses. My mother was a California state champion.
Right. Yeah, his mom's a horse trainer.
Yeah, and pretty famous horse trainer.
In case you didn't know.
And I was on the back of fucking full-size horses. I was maybe five. You know, little bitty. I got photographs of me. Little bitty thing on a fucking horse jumping over a fence.
You were this big?
This big compared to the rest of it. I was like, damn.
Little bitty Tom.
Yeah. But I'm good with a horse. I can jump. I could shoot from the back of a horse. I could probably shoot a bow from the back of a horse. You know, I'm a good archer, too. But guns be no problem. AR-15, you just need a fucking... You just have to have a horse that's used to the sound of fucking rifle shots. Which you can get them used to it. You just put them next to a range. And over time, they just get used to it. And then you start shooting next to them. And then the next fucking phase, you get on top of them and start shooting. As long as they know nothing happens to them, they're okay with it.
Yeah. Tila says everyone should visit these farms now. Fruit picking, getting your eggs, honey, etc. Yeah.
The we got one a U-pick up the road.
Yeah, they have peaches and strawberries. Yeah. And, oh, there's a blueberry farm up there, too. Did you see that one?
No, I saw that
one.
That one.
I saw that one yesterday. I'm sure they have other things, too. But, yeah, it's a blueberry farm.
Yeah.
And most of the places have hives, so they have honey. And most of them have eggs, because most of them keep chickens, because like you said, chickens are pretty inexpensive to keep.
These supply chain disruptions are not by accident, all right? They're being used as a tool and a weapon against us, a weapon of control. But I looked into it. It's what is being... We do not live in the world... The people that are thinking or trying to do this, this is like some Bertrand Russell fucking shit where... You know, from 100 years ago, of like, well, we can get rid of these people and take over. Basically what the Nazis wanted, you know. He says, we can do it because the poor people and the working people need our companies and our industries to survive. It's top down. No, it isn't. It's bottom up. Those stores require supplies from corporate sources. You get rid of those corporate sources, those stores will dry up. But if you actually look at the details, many of these states on a state level have the ability to be food sufficient or can conduct their own trade or they can keep themselves alive if people start growing food and trading in food. But you can't do that in an urban environment. That's the problem. The people who are most at risk are people who are in an urban environment. It's a powder keg. They require lines of supply, power. They require a lot of stuff to keep a city going. And it's a very fragile system. And especially the way it was set up with just-in-time delivery. It's not something that can survive even a damn fucking solar flare. If a solar flare were to hit and knock out power for longer than 3 days, those cities will burn because the food vanishes. There's only 3 days worth of food in a city. If the deliveries aren't on time or are fucked up, if the city starts to fucking go, basically what you saw in Katrina, which I saw that. I was lucky I wasn't in Katrina. I saw it from outside in Baton Rouge. Ooh, man. I'm worried. I'm worried, people. Civilization is a delicate thing. It could very quickly go back to the 1800s, but with technology. With a very high population, without the technology to feed that high population, that's a very dangerous situation. And all this stuff, well, our military, oh, we'll have foreign aid. No, all that shit will disintegrate. They're totally incompetent. And the military of today is a shadow of what it was when I was in the 90s. It's just, the quality is terrible. There's not very many people in it like there used to be. It's small. No talent. All the good guys are gone. Terrible fucking chain of command. The officer corps, the general corps is fucking terrible. They're just political generals. They don't have any skill. And, I mean, look what they did. They couldn't even handle Afghanistan. So, what makes you think that they'd be able to handle a fucking heavily armed fucking population like the South? No, they get their asses tore out of the frame. You know, they couldn't even beat a small population of 85 IQ dudes wearing flip-flops and old fucking AKs with no training. They couldn't even handle them. They're never going to be able to deal with a fucking 100 IQ average population, heavily armed with AR-15s and AK-47s, a lot of them with fucking good military experience. They won't be able to do it. It's not the way things happen. So I'm just worried about the shit.
Thank you, Zach.
What did Zach say?
I need a new job soon for more money, but mainly because the new boss there is very hostile, passive-aggressive for no reason. No one likes her there. Oh, that sucks. Well, I hope you can find a new one. Somebody said, oh, Camp Guy said, when a rooster chases another rooster off a hen, he immediately mounts the same hen to overwrite his DNA over the other roosters. I think a lot of male animals do that, actually. I know for sure a lot of birds do. I think ducks might do that, too. And then Tila said, so much bulk stuff at Costco, but it's just me, the dude, and the furry babies. We don't have the space to hoard bulk stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, we have Sam's and... I mean, there's a Costco around here, too, but we don't go to that one. We have Sam's. And we probably go, what, like once every couple months or something?
Yeah, to Sam's. Once every month and a half, we go to Sam's.
Something like that. And that's mostly just to get shit that we use a lot of.
Yeah, big bulk stuff.
Like big things of coffee. Yeah, like
big things of flour.
Flour, sugar, stuff like that.
Big cans of tomato sauce. Cases of tomato paste. Stuff like that.
Yeah, that we use
stuff
a lot of.
Stuff that you use to cook with.
Yeah.
Tina wants to know why people are still procreating. Well, it's a myth that the Earth has reached carrying capacity. There isn't population problems. Not really. There's plenty of technology to feed everybody. It's just that you have people that don't want that to happen. They don't want third world populations. They want the third world. So the idea is to collapse the third world so they can go in there and say, oh, it's terrible, you know, solar flares and global warming killed all these people. So now we can take this land that they used to occupy. Everything is just, read Bertrand Russell, man, he talks about it. It's the same thing the Nazis do, it's just that everything is veiled and hidden in concepts of like, well, democracy and fairness and protecting the environment. And this, everything is just a camouflaged way of doing colonialism. Globalism is colonialism. To colonize the planet. And it's our oligarchs doing it from a concealed position with your minds being clouded with ideas that aren't true. They're just words that they can use on you so you feel better about what it is they're making you to do. You know? But no, it's just about, it's the same thing they've been doing since the 1800s.
Tammy says, I grow stuff in flower pots. You would be surprised what you can harvest from a small area. Lots of YouTube gardening channels. We've been started growing some broccoli, and you actually made a pizza today with broccoli on it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, grow bags.
Yeah. So we're growing a little bit of stuff.
Using mulch and then black cow and spray insecticides. And you kind of have to stock up on that stuff. You see, here's the thing. A disaster if shit got real disastrous, you cannot hoard a lifetime's worth of food. You just can't. There's not enough space for it. Because you might live 20 or 30 years. If some kind of catastrophic occurrence happened, if it's not resolved within 3 or 4 years, it's not going to be resolved. I think most of the problems would be resolved within about a year or so. You kind of want to be in a position where you could survive for about a year or so. All right. And there's ways of doing that. But like I said, in an urban environment, that's very difficult. Because crime starts spiking. It starts to go kind of like Katrina. You can't stay, but you can't leave either. you won't have the money or the resources to leave, and then there'd be nowhere for you to go, because you'd have to fight your way into new positions. And if it was catastrophic on a national level, a lot of towns would be locked down. They wouldn't let outsiders in. It'd go back to kind of like the 1800s. You'd have local elected sheriffs and stuff doing roadblocks, checking IDs to see if you lived in that area. If you didn't, they'd turn you around. If you didn't turn around, they'd kill you on the spot. It would not be the same world you're used to. This is already happening in some places in this area. You know, parts of Mexico are like that. You can't drive down certain roads without a truck fucking pulling up on you and dudes pointing guns at you saying, where are you going? Where are you going? And it's some cartel or something that doesn't want you going down that road, at least not on that day. You're going to start seeing things like that. And it's because nature abhors a vacuum. The poorer the government gets, the less credibility it has, the less ability for it to get anything done. So that vacuum is filled by professionals and volunteers who are local. So there'll be local cops, but other people might call them local militias, which would be the same thing. It's just that they're being raised locally. They'd have uniforms, but they'd probably be kind of trained quickly in an emergency type situation. And they might be under the command of a local mayor or something. And in that area, he's got the powers given to him by the governor to basically do whatever he wants, because it'd be an emergency. And then everybody has their own idea of what an emergency is, you know. But it's not going good, man. Just telling you people. This isn't going good.
Thank you again, Zach. Here's a fun question. Worst boss story.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what mine is. That's that fucking jackhole that I worked for at that one.
Yeah.
That dude, he didn't do anything really to me personally, because like I said, I think he was afraid of me. But, for some reason. But he was, had some drug problems, and he managed the place. It belonged to his parents. Like, his parents owned it and, like, let him manage it, because I think they were trying to get him to, like, get his shit together. And so he would basically come in and he would take money out of the cash register and then go, you know, do whatever with it, buy drugs, I guess. And he would leave so little money in there that the woman that worked the front counter, like, a lot of times she didn't have enough money, like, to make change for people, like, if they needed change. So there was that. And also, he went into these, like, really crazy, like, rages. You know what I mean? It's, like, really hard to explain. But, yeah, he was, like, not all there. Yeah, Camp Guy says, Costco is good for dry goods. Peanut butter, coffee, birdseed, cooking oil. Yeah, we get stuff like that there. Like, coffee, creamer, cat litter, garbage bags, that kind of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Canned stuff.
Now, based on what you guys are talking about, the people who are at the greatest risk of having bad things happen to them in a time like this are the people who are already in the greatest risk. You're talking about people who are, you know, addicted to drugs, high crime areas, people who depend on EBT cards, single mothers, people who depend upon government to eat and to function. Because if that vanishes, they immediately go hungry. They immediately start fighting each other for food. Just like Katrina. And if that were to happen at a national level, there's no telling what would happen. Some states, Florida, if that happened to Florida, Florida is in good enough condition to where they could probably pick up the slack, where people would still be taken care of, you know, if people who are really not mentally sound. I think they'd be all right in this state. But in other states, there may not be enough money or enough infrastructure to make that happen. It would all depend on where you are. It'd all be a local problems. And each place would have its own set of problems. A lot of it based upon geography and what the population is like in that area. The worst would be New England, probably, because it's just so densely populated. Bunch of these little cities all close to each other, and it's so heavily invested in office jobs, basically, and banking, you know, not a real well diversified economy in those areas.
Tila and Tammy are talking about gardening and what is like the best stuff to like grow on a like a deck garden, because Tila wants to start one of those.
Tomatoes are easy, but there isn't much nutrition in a tomato. There isn't much nutrition in any of this stuff. Probably when it comes to yield, I'm working on some pumpkins out there, pumpkins and melons, or big squashes, that kind of stuff. You can get a lot out of that, but they take a while.
Yeah, I always felt like tomatoes were easy. I always thought green beans were fairly. I think they're fairly easy to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tammy says tomatoes are easy. Get yourself some mixed greens as a lettuce and then plant wheatgrass for the babies so the animals don't eat it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they'll eat your plants.
And you see, there's no way to do chickens. But what you could do in an apartment is rabbits. Rabbits reproduce quickly. They don't smell that bad. You can let them run around. But the problem with rabbits is you're going to get attached to rabbits if you're living with them.
Well, yeah.
They're like pets.
Like I said, I had a pet rabbit when I was younger.
It's going to be real difficult to cut that fucking pet's head off. I'm not emotionally cold enough to do that to an animal. Unless it's obviously a food animal. I have to kind of be disconnected that it's a food animal from afar.
Yeah.
You know? And I can't do that to a person unless I hate you. And I have to be really fired up. There has to be a reason why I'm cutting your head off. Let's be obvious and let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I cut somebody's head off, fucking right. But I have to be convinced you deserve it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get it.
You gotta be bad.
Yeah.
You gotta be bad, or you're trying to hurt me or somebody in my family, I'll fucking kill you. And most people are like that. Most functional people are like that.
Yeah, like
They say they're not, but you put them under pressure and they start fighting back. I'll fucking kill you. Yeah, you know, most healthy people will. That's just the survival instincts, protective instincts.
Yeah, Tila said, I can't raise rabbits, no way.
Yeah, because you have to kill them. Or you can give them to somebody else to slaughter them, but then all of a sudden they give you your pet rabbits back and you got to eat them.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can buy somebody else's rabbits because those weren't my rabbits. You know what I mean? I didn't know those rabbits.
I don't know you.
I don't know you.
I mean, I could probably eat rabbit if it was, like, already prepared, you know what I mean? Like, it was already, they'd already skinned it and,
that's how they give them to you.
That's what I mean. Yep. It's like, if it still looks like a bunny, then I'm just, no thanks.
It'd be just like buying it from a store.
Yeah.
But,
for a while, I don't know. I remember when I was growing up, you could buy rabbit in grocery stores sometimes. Like, they would have just, like, a few packages of it. I haven't seen it for a while, though. Not like I look, but.
You got no problem killing chickens. As long as it's fast, cut the chicken's head off. And chickens don't care if you kill other chickens either. So that's the acid test. You can grab a chicken out of a fucking pack of chickens and cut the chicken's head off straight in front of all the other chickens, and they go right back to eating like it never even happened. They won't even run from you. They just don't. There's just not enough brain power there for some reason. I think there may have been. It's just that they've been raised in captivity for so long that was selected for over and over again in a population that chickens are tolerant of seeing. A tolerant of you cutting other chickens' heads off. That doesn't seem to bother them.
Maybe they're just kind of like, nah, I didn't like that chicken anyway. Like, fuck that.
Better
guy.
Him than me. Where's the feed?
Yeah, that's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like her.
Well, that's the weird thing about pigs. Pigs have a fucking pretty good intelligence. But a domestic pig, you can grab the mama out and kill her in front of the other ones and start cooking her. And those pigs will ask for some meat.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. It's not a normal intelligence,
pigs
if you ask me.
Pigs are psychopaths.
Yeah, give me some of that. It smells good. So there's...
I like it does, but that dude, that's your mom.
Yeah, so... Some people go, well, they're more smarter than a dog. I don't know. I don't think they are.
Well, it might be... I think they... There's different types of intelligence.
Right. If a dog saw you do that to another dog, that dog would be whining and whimpering the whole time. No. You know.
Yeah, they'd be flipping.
They know what happened.
Yeah.
But for some reason, domestic pigs don't seem to be bothered about it. And I think they just kind of selected through selective breeding that the ones that are being bred for food have genetically passed that test of being able to tolerate. So in other words, they're psychos. They're like psychos.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. They have some kind of psychopathic gene. We're like, yeah, fuck her. She tastes good, though. Yeah.
My mom's delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Just weird. Kalon Higgins says, what does rabbit taste like, or deer?
Kind of like, rabbit kind of tastes a little bit like chicken, but the texture is a little bit more like beef or pork. Okay, the texture is a little bit different. But it in general, the closest thing to it is chicken. Chicken.
And I know that's very cliche to say. It tastes like chicken, but it kind
of does. Well, the sizes of the pieces are... The leg quarter is similar to a chicken leg quarter. The shape of it. And the texture and the taste is similar. It's like chicken, but instead... You know how chicken is kind of like a juicy meat? Almost kind of like snake, which you don't know what that is, but it's kind of a juicy, soft, flaky meat, almost kind of like fish. Rabbit isn't like that. It's got a texture a little bit more like very tender pork or very tender beef. Kind of like veal. Kind of like that, the texture. The taste is good. What'd she ask? What was the other one?
Deer.
Venison. Venison depends on what cut. The best cuts go along the damn back of the spine or the filet, which is kind of like the filet mignon cut. That's and what you do is you sear the outside of it in a real hot pan. And then you wrap the filet up inside that pan, melt a stick of butter in there, put it on real, real low, and just kind of cover it. And let it cook for about an hour and a half on warm, or like, you know, one on your electric stove. When you come back, it'll be kind of done through like a filet mignon. It'll be nice. It's kind of like beef. Now, the roast, the hindquarters, it's a little bit tough.
Bless you.
It's a little tougher than beef. You just have to know how to cook it. Okay, you can pressure cook it and make it nice and tender, or you can slow roast it. There's all kinds of recipes for it. It's very lean. That's why it's kind of tough. So you got to be careful with how you cook it. The front legs, you know, this part, the shoulder, and there's not much there for meat. It's mostly hindquarters and filet. There isn't even much on the neck. There's really, the ribs don't have much. So it doesn't yield a whole lot of meat. You know, they're only, you know, fucking 100 and something pounds, maybe 100 pounds. You get a couple roasts about that big, two of those, and a couple strips of filet about that long, about that big around. Get two of those out of it. But there's a skill to dealing with deer that you can learn from. Just watch The Predator. You have to know it's not a field dress. Get the guts out of it. Make it easier to carry.
Murder Hornet says, I know goat tastes nasty. Although, you know what? I've had goat curry.
Goat curry's good.
Which is actually very good. But see, goats are also super cute.
Yeah, goats are intelligent, man. They're more intelligent than a dog. They're a trip. They got their own little personalities and shit. They're funny. They're clowns.
They are, yeah.
Goats are fucking super clownish. It's gamey. So goat is best with, or it tends to be gamey. Goat's best with things that are like Indian-type dishes where there's a lot of spice in it.
Yeah, because I've had goat curry on several occasions, and it was actually really, really good.
It's kind of like lamb. Kind of like lamb.
Yeah, I like lamb a lot, too. Yeah. But yeah, lamb can also tend toward gaminess if you don't prepare it correctly. But if it's done right, like I said, a lot of times in Indian food applications, like Memories of India has that fucking, that lamb korma that is out of this fucking world. It's so fucking good. Tila says, the most gamey thing I've eaten was rattlesnake at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It was gross.
It wasn't done right.
Ran over to the garlic ice cream after eating that. The garlic ice cream. Yeah, I heard about that. Good. And then they're talking about fishing. Yeah, and Tila says, I prefer fish and seafood to regular meat. Yeah. I generally do, too, honestly.
Good rattlesnake is real close to, like, bluegill or perch or whitefish. It's light and flaky. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have a gamey flavor to it. I don't know what they did. It was just good with salt and lemon. Fry it in butter, salt and lemon.
Then Tila says, I'd like to grow some portobello mushrooms. If you throw those on a grill and put between buns, add some cheese and it's stuff, it tastes just as good as a burger. Yeah, I really do like a portobello burger. That's really nice. Like those grilled portobello mushrooms on
the problem with growing vegetables is that vegetables do not have much protein. Protein is the life, is the life-giving sustenance. You need protein. Without protein, you end up looking like a North Korean, like a walking skeleton. You have all kinds of fucking fucked up problems. You can get some protein synthesis happening with vegetables, but nowhere near as much as if it was with meat. So you're always going to have a certain kind of like borderline malnutrition kind of thing going on, depending on how much energy you're outputting. You know, if you're not doing much, maybe it's not going to be as bad, but you'll end up being like skinny fat probably. It all just depends. Now,
I mean, if you're going to grow food, you can just grow food that you want to eat. I mean, you don't really have to worry about.
Right. You can just, if you want. Now, in an application like what we're talking about, a couple things that I could recommend are the big things of whey protein that bodybuilders use to make protein shakes. You can get 5 pounds of that for about $35 delivered from Amazon, depending on what flavor it is and if you can get a good deal on it. Sometimes you can get it even better. That actually, in an emergency situation, is a month's worth of protein for one person. You could probably get it to last 2 months if you were light on it and you weren't really running your body that hard. So, you know, for $35, that's a fucking month's worth of decent protein supplements, so you can supplement whatever the bullshit you're eating, you can supplement it with that. You know, that's not a bad idea. And you can mix it with water or milk or powdered milk. That's another thing. Those big old things of powdered milk, there's a lot of sustenance in those. As far as cheap shit that I saw, that I was like, you know, the nutrition's not that bad. Those cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli with the beef ravioli in the side with the... It's in a can and it's got a pull top on it, which means that in World War II they would have issued that as a ration, right along with Spam. And you can get those for $1. Imagine so $100 could get you 100 cans of that. And it's pretty compact. That might be 100 days worth of fucking life. So for a couple hundred dollars. $300-$400, you could have a year's worth of fucking protein. You'd get sick of eating that. You'd get sick of eating. It's got a lot of protein in it, but not as much as protein powder. But as far as something out of a can that was a prepared meal, that wasn't that bad for the price. Probably also say that those Vienna sausages are kind of okay for protein and stuff. That's about 80 cents a can. You buy a couple cases of that.
Too bad they taste like ass.
Yeah, but it's meat. Another one is cans of Beanie Weenie. They had those in there.
Ooh, nice callback.
Yeah.
To the Beanie Weenies.
Yeah. So now they're selling these, I think they're Dinty Moore plastic single serving meals. It comes in a white plastic dish with a fucking...
Yeah, a lot of people take them to the office.
For their
lunch.
Office.
Yeah.
Well, that's a remnant of... that company was trying to get a military contract to make the MREs. That is an MRE meal that was going to be in a package that they were selling. I've got a bunch of them. The only thing I don't like about them is there isn't a date on the bottom. So you got to write the date on there with a magic marker before you take that fucking paper wrapper off. Because you don't keep the paper wrapper. You take two of them, you put it together like that, and you duct tape them together to make them even stronger. You can put that in a damn backpack, and it can survive punctures. The only thing I don't like about it is that you can't put it in an engine compartment or anything like that to heat it up. You'd have to put it in a mess kit and heat it up. You may be able to drop it into some hot water, but doing that in the field takes a long time. So really what you're going to do is just rip it and eat it cold. If you're going to go through all that, why don't you just get a damn can? Cans are, people think cans are heavy. They're not. Once that can's empty, you feel how light it is. It's not much heavier than a plastic wrapper. You know, you can't really tell the difference. You know, an empty can is kind of weightless.
Rodney says, do you beat your meat with a hammer before cooking it? That sounded kind of dirty.
He's talking about doing that to venison, probably. We used to do it to some pieces of it. You could hit it with a fucking meat tenderizer and then roll it through a little bit of egg wash and then bread it with flour and cook it, or fry it, and make, what do you call them? Chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
And then you put country gravy on it, which you make out of butter, cream or milk, and then flour and salt and pepper. Pour that over it. White country gravy. Real good. And what you do is you just take a bowl of rice and you put your chicken fried venison in there, or your fried venison steak on there, and then pour the damn country gravy over the top of it and enjoy it and get diabetes or get high cholesterol.
Yeah.
That's why they
after
all,
a while, yeah.
That's why they're fucking, yeah.
Stardog78 said, if I had to choose one movie character to be partnered up with in case of the apocalypse, it would be Dick Halloran from The Shining. He's psychic, plus he can cook. And then Tila says, if you ever... Wait a minute. Oh, now I lost it. Oh, shit. I got so behind because I was trying to, like, answer questions and... If you ever get invited to an African wedding, you'll be offered goat as the main meal. I think they do that in some place in India, too. Because remember we saw that that Gordon Ramsay thing that he did, and they, like, cooked a whole goat,
yeah,
like, for a wedding. Have we had kangaroo meat?
Yeah.
You haven't had kangaroo meat.
No, I've had wallaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually had it in beef jerky. Wallaby jerky.
Wallaby jerky. I remember there being, like, wasn't there kind of a thing for a minute?
Yeah, and then
there was,
90s.
Like, yeah, in the 90s for, like, weird jerkies.
It was weird stuff.
Like ostrich jerky and shit like that. Yeah, I remember
emu,
that.
It was all coming from Australia.
Yeah.
It was all Australian stuff. Somebody said that they tried that powdered milk for the first time to make stuff. It was good. Yeah. You can get it from Walmart. It's called Nido. And, there's two different kinds, the regular one and fortified. Fortified is good enough for babies. You can feed that to a child, for a nursing child. Really, I can't tell the difference between the two. But you can make milk and you can put it in a pitcher and then refrigerate it, and it comes out pretty good. But the other day, I made some and just threw ice in it. And it's fucking great, you know? And it doesn't taste like milk out of a damn carton, you know, but it's a milk-like experience. You know, that's the best way to
explain it. Having a milk-like experience.
Yeah, it's a milk-like experience. Kind of like, you know, an instant breakfast drink or something like that, or like, kind of tastes like drinking coffee creamer or something, you know, it's okay. But it's best for cooking.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to store milk and worry about it going bad. If you just need a cup of milk every now and then for a recipe, you can just make it.
Well, we used to get that powdered coconut milk too from the from the Indian store.
Yeah, powdered coconut milk. That shit's good.
Because that's like way. Because coconut milk in a can is like pretty pricey
and it's expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's better to get the powdered stuff from the, because you get like a big box and you can make a lot of coconut milk with
that. Yeah, they sell that at like Indian food stores where they'll have Indian and Pakistani and maybe Indonesian food all be sold into one place. They're usually called like House of Spices or
that's what ours
Spice
is called.
Or some shit
House
like that.
Of Spices. That's and the one we usually go to.
Yeah, and you go in there and then you'll find all different kinds of rices and rice from, you know, Indonesia and India. And now they have some stuff in there, man, that's almost like an MRE too. Metal bags, like an MRE bag, but they'd be like sag paneer or fucking chicken. Chicken tikka, and the price was reasonable, and it'll last forever. And it's because a lot of Indian homes, you know, India's big country, and the average person's poor. They don't have refrigeration, so snack meals are just have to be something like an MRE, and they just fucking cut it and open it and heat it up. Maybe they have a microwave, maybe they don't. But it's a good little ration. Protein was good from when I looked at them too. The nutrition was good. And they'd also have, which I have some of these, because they were selling some of them at Publix. I have them. Bags of pre-made Indian rice, a couple different flavors of that. And then Indian, usually vegetarian curries. Got about four or five different versions of those. I think I paid like $3 for each one of them. That's when I was making my own MREs. And I tried them. They're good, real good. There's no meat in them, though, so you'd have to supplement it with protein powder. Gotta have protein.
Stardog78 said, someone should do an experiment on YouTube. I ate nothing but beef ravioli, Vienna sausage, and Spam for a year.
It'd be better than starving.
Well,
nutrition be pretty
that's
good.
Pretty much true of anything.
Right. I'd like to try to see you live off of pasta, nothing but pasta, and crackers and fucking cans of corn. You'd be fucked up after about a year. You have to have protein in there. Here's another one that I found. If you guys ever heard Goober Grape, it's a jar of peanut butter and jelly in the same jar. It's in stripes. Well, the Goober Grape one is real good. It's made by Smucker's. It comes in a glass jar. So you can't carry anything like that fucking backpacking or survival or anything. It's got to be plastic. Well, the generic version of it tastes exactly the same. They have that here at Dollar General store. For $1.60, it's a jar twice that size that has the peanut butter and the jelly in the same jar. Yeah, that would be pretty decent nutrition for and calories. Now, your bread, you can't really pack bread. We tried it in the Army. So we packed crackers, but the crackers have to be in a can, so that's hard to find that. Maybe you could throw round crackers in a damn tennis ball can and stack them, but that would be kind of impractical. I think what would be better is to take flour tortillas in a Ziploc bag when they come in and just roll them up and pack that into a pack, and you could eat peanut butter and jelly on that, on a flour tortilla. And look, that sounds crazy. When you're fucking starving, marching all day, especially if it's fucking cold or super hot, laying up in that hooch that you make, that little poncho hooch, just getting nestled up inside your damn sleeping bag, just eating something like that, man, you think you're in a fucking five-star hotel. You will think that you're in a five-star hotel. Your standards lower very quickly when you're living in the field. At least they did for me. You know, 3 or 4 days into your first field exercise when I was a kid, fucking being poured on and rained on, because they fucking choose the rainy season. They choose the worst possible weather conditions to test the troops in, because they got to make sure everybody can drive, and the trucks and the fucking supply lines can all fucking handle the punishment of fucking extra cold weather and shit. So it's not just you out in the field being tested. It's also the support networks being tested. So they pick the worst possible conditions all the time. And you're just so miserable after 3 or 4 days just to not move and to get into a sleeping bag for a few hours, man. You think you're in a heavenly cloud of love. Oh, damn, this feels good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, anything's like that. If you spend any length of time doing something really, really unpleasant, then something just as simple as, like, taking your shoes off
taking
or something
off
like that is like, oh, my God, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, and then you hear the rain hit the top of the poncho hooch. You say, what's a poncho hooch? You take an army poncho, and it's camouflage poncho, and you fucking tie the... It's got a hood on it. You put your head through. Well, you take that, and you tie it closed. On the outside of the poncho, it's got snaps, and it's got metal rings. You take 5 bungee cords. You put 1 bungee cord in each corner, and you stretch it between trees so it gets tight. You take the 5th one, and you wrap it around where your little fucking hoodie comes out. You wrap it around there, and you pull that up, and you hang that from a branch. So you make like a little pyramid out of your poncho. You make it 3 feet off the ground, and you climb underneath there, and you throw down your little mat and put your sleeping bag in there. Now you have your e-tool too, which is a little collapsible shovel, and you start digging to level it, and then you want to make the dirt higher, so where your sleeping mat's going to be, it's going to be higher than everything else, so when it rains, the water goes around your sleeping bag, not into your sleeping bag. So there's all kinds of shit you got to know. I would fucking live in like a 4-star hotel. I can make a 4-star hotel within about a half hour if you give me a five bungee cords, a poncho, and an e-tool, and a sleeping bag, and what we call a pussy pad. But you got to be a pussy to fucking sleep on that thing. That's the roll-out mat. I got a good one. I got my shit good. When I ever do my own channel, maybe I'll make a video and I'll put it up on this channel of how to fucking pack a ruck. How to live in the field, everything you need, and what to get and what not to get, and what the use for everything is. That would be about 10 hours of material. It'd probably be about fucking 5 videos.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to do it. We'll put it up on this channel.
Kalen Higgins says, Tom, have you ever slow roasted something over a fire, like rotisserie style? If so, do you have any tips?
Over an open fire, no. Over open fire, usually was cooking things that were already in cans, or it was things like fish. And there's no reason to slow roast fish, because fish cooks very quickly. What you can do with fish, it also depends on what you have at hand. If you do not have a frying pan, which I carry a frying pan in my mess kit, I'll show you what a mess kit looks like. It's 2 halves that close together. It has cooking implements and stuff in it. Plunk. It's a military mess kit. You want one of those. You also want knife, spoon, and fork, and they all fold up and they go into a little mess thing. Okay, and they come apart, so you can have a knife and a fork and a spoon. So eating implements. One of the things that you could do is you could take a piece of. First of all, you catch fish. You gut the fish, cut the head off. Don't scale it. You usually don't have to scale it if you do what I'm telling you. It depends on what kind of fish it is. Lay it on a aluminum foil if you have aluminum foil. But usually you should have something like aluminum foil or a mess kit with you. And you can put that on top of the coals in a fire, and it will cook just like that. You can flip it over.
Let me get a drink.
Like, one thing you can do is you can take the fish and put it on the aluminum foil and then fold the aluminum foil over it so it's on the top and the bottom, and you just flip the whole thing. It's like in there. The fish is in there inside the aluminum foil. And it'll cook. If the coals are hot enough, we're talking only like a few minutes, five minutes maybe. And then you just open it up and there's your cooked fish. And just usually you can just pull the skin right off of it and all the fucking scales come off. And then you'll have a fish, and then you just fucking pull the meat off of the bones in the direction that the bones go. There's all different ways to cook in the field, though. But they're all lengthy. So being infantry, you don't have time, because you're constantly moving. They're feeding you anyway. They're sending you food that's pre-cooked. MREs. But when you're camping, which you did that, grew up doing that in Mississippi, it's a different deal. You have time to do things like cook fish. And if you're going to be out there for months and months and months, you're living out there. So you're also living off the land, going where the fish are good. The easiest thing to do is catch fish. It's the easiest. And not rod and reel's one way, but the most efficient way is trot line. You just get a rope tied across a body of water, and you have little fucking fishing lines descending into the water every 3 feet with a hook on the end. Sometimes you don't even need bait. You can just put the hook. They'll just bite the hook.
Dummies.
Yeah. It's dangling, so they bite it.
What's that? Oh.
Yeah. If it's something small and you're not going to eat it, you can kill that like a fish and cut it up into pieces. And, if you're living in the field and as long as it's not too cold, you just strip down to your shorts and go out into the water and bait the hooks out in the water and then swim back up. And then just keep checking it. Every twice a day or something, you just go down and fucking grab the rope and pull it like that and see if there's any fish on there and just put it back. There's no reason to waste time sitting there fishing. You can also make crab traps, real easy. And you just have to have ingenuity. Sometimes it's just you find a damn big old can. you know. And you go, you know, they'll go through that hole and fall in that hole, and I'll just tie a rope here, and I'll put some bait in there, and they'll go in, and I'll just pull up, and the crabs will be in there. It doesn't have to fold up. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. You can go on YouTube and see, you know, primitive cultures do it all the time. They were even using things like fucking 2-liter bottles.
Tila says, did we read Into Thin Air about the Mount Everest expedition? I haven't, but I actually have been wanting to because I heard that was a really, really good book. Yeah, she said it was great. I will get around to it. And Tammy's talking about all the stuff that she grows. And she said, this is interesting. Tammy said she went to college for landscaping and nursery technology.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, well, that's fascinating. I didn't even know that. So she, like, knows how to grow all the things. She'll be all right. Yeah. Tila said, I remember as a kid going into my uncle's army camping gear, and he told me to try the rations. I would open a candy bar, eat a little, and run to the bathroom. Nasty. It's, I don't know. Yeah. For some reason, I was, like, thinking of that joke that you used to pull on your siblings, like, back when you were kids, where you'd take the chocolate laxatives and give them candy, you know. Here, have a piece of candy. Oh, thanks, how nice of you. Aw. Do they even make, like, laxatives that look like chocolate bars anymore? I don't even know. Just because so many people got that fucking prank pulled on them. I don't know. I'm not up on what laxatives were available. Do you remember those? They weren't laxatives, but they were, what were they, diet gum or something like that? Remember it was called AIDS?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was AYDS.
It wasn't gum.
It was diet something, right?
It was diet chocolate. And
fucking, okay, yeah.
When I was a little kid, my mom got some of that.
Here, have some AIDS.
It's called AIDS.
Yeah. AYDS.
It would aid you in your diet.
Yeah.
It was before the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah, obviously.
And it came in a box that looked like See's candy. And you lifted the top of the box off, and you'd see all these little chocolates. They were like kind of like, you know, those little ice cubes from Bear?
Yeah.
Bear, they looked like that.
Yeah.
It was just the waxiest, most horrible fucking tasting thing ever. It looked like chocolate, but didn't hardly taste anything like chocolate.
You're like, my whole life is a lie.
My mom put them up on top of the refrigerator when I was a little kid, and I climbed up there to get to them. Well, I was climbing up there for some reason. I saw them, and I go, oh, man, candy. So I started eating those things, man. I said, oh, man, they taste terrible. It was like eating. But when you're a little kid, you'll eat something that tastes terrible.
And then you just keep eating it.
Because you're trying to make it taste good. It's the way it looked or something. You know, you're trying to make it
taste good. This is supposed to taste good.
Supposed to taste good. It didn't, though. I eat like 4 or 5 of them. And what they did was I think they fucking kind of expanded in your stomach and made you feel full. I think that's what they did.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah. I think they were also kind of chewy a little bit. Like, it was like waxy and hard, but they were also kind of chewy, a little bit like caramel, if I remember correctly. But the texture was just terrible.
Yeah, Camp Guy said, you ate an AIDS bar before a meal, and it was supposed to suppress your appetite so you wouldn't eat as much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it did kind of like blow up and
blow up a little bit.
Expand in your stomach or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, there's other things that would do that, too. I don't know why the fucking... Yeah, Tammy said, my mom tells the story of my oldest brother getting into the X-Lax when he was just a toddler, pooped for days. And Barry said, as a kid, I tried, like, different Milk-Bone dog biscuits. I did that, too. Well, I mean, I knew that they were dog biscuits, but they were so cute. They look like little bones, and I was just kind of like, I was curious. They didn't smell too good, but I was like, maybe it tastes like a cookie. It didn't taste like a cookie. So it was like Slim Fast back in the early 2000s. Yeah, well, Slim Fast, I kind of feel like Slim Fast wasn't, that was more like a meal replacement though, right? I kind of felt like, wasn't Slim Fast one that said shake for breakfast, shake for lunch, and then have a normal dinner? Because it was supposed to just have like all your nutrients and not have that many calories. So I thought it was more like it was supposed to be like a meal replacement rather than something that you like, you know, that would, you know, make your appetite go away or something like that. Yeah, meal substitute. Do they still make that? Do they still make Slim Fast? I haven't seen it, but it's not like I've looked, so I don't really know. John Gora says, I remember the bouillon cubes that were wrapped kind of like chocolates as a kid. Yeah, I remember that too. And I don't know why I just thought of this, but you guys remember sucrettes that were like, what were they, cough drops or something? Or like cough medicine? And they came like in a tin that kind of looked like an Altoids tin, now that I'm thinking about it. And then inside they were like wrapped in red foil. And I used to think that red foil was like the shit. I thought that was so pretty. It's like, I always kind of liked to go, I was a weird child. I kind of liked a lot of different like packaging. Like if I thought packaging was particularly cool or particularly pretty, even if I didn't like the actual thing, like I didn't need a sucrette. I just liked to go in there and like look at it because I thought the red foil was pretty. It was just kind of like that, oh shit, what was that stuff? It just like that Underwood deviled ham, and it came like in the can, but the can was like wrapped in paper. And it had, like, a little red devil on it. And, man, I used to think that shit was so cool. I didn't like the deviled ham, but my grandmother always had some of it in the cabinet. And I was just, like, to go in there in the cabinet and look at it. So I'm like, look, it has a devil on it. That's so awesome. Yeah, Tila said, well, now you can just make yourself a smoothie and have that for breakfast. Yeah, that's what I mean. It is a lot healthier, I feel like, because I don't know. I don't even know what was in Slim Fast, for Christ's sake. But... yeah, now I feel like most people just make their own smoothies nowadays, right? They just with kale and bananas or whatever the hell. You just kind of throw it in there and make it. I remember sucrettes, I think for sore throats. Yeah, it's like every now and then I'll see like an old movie like from the 60s or 70s or something, and somebody will like have a tin of those like in the bathroom, and I'll be like, oh man, I remember like the little red foil, like it was like a tin, like an Altoids tin, and they were about like that big, like about a penny size, I think. I could be remembering it totally wrong, but then they were just like laying in the bottom of this tin like that, and they had like this red foil, and it was like, and they were super super cool.
What have you got? Some stuff that I got those. It's a ham. That was only three.
Yes, it is.
That was like only $3.20. I bought them all. They had five.
I'm buying all your hams.
I bought all of them. They never restocked them. See?
Well, maybe you're the only one that's buying them.
They never restocked them.
Yeah.
See, it has a pull cute. It has a pull.
Yeah.
Thing on it. So that's good. That's a ration. Then they had these for a dollar. And actually, the nutrition on the back isn't that bad. And this is that peanut butter I was telling you about. That was only, I think, $3.
Yeah, because Clover Valley, that's yeah. Dollar General's
that's
brand.
Dollar General's and store. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's their store yeah. brand.
And that's in a plastic jar. So you don't have to worry about breaking it. So
Camp Guy says, eat the can and all.
Yeah. So just...
get some iron.
There's shit out there that's interesting. I'd imagine they were selling these for a dollar. You could probably get a case of it, and it'd probably go down to about 80 cents.
And honestly, of all the kind of canned food, like, I don't mind that. I don't mind the Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, it's
not the best thing ever, but...
when you're hungry, man, that's just, whoo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, a few times when I used to go into the office, and there was a 7-Eleven right next door, and sometimes I'd forget to take lunch with me.
Yeah.
And so I'd go over there to 7-Eleven and just get a little... I didn't get, like, one that size. I got, like, the one that was, like, a little cup. And, yeah, it was perfectly, perfectly good.
Usually what happens with those cans of ravioli... I don't like the lasagna. I don't like the spaghetti. Some people like the spaghetti
I like
meatballs.
The spaghetti and meatballs and the ravioli. The other ones are kind of...
Yeah. Usually what the problem is, it was when you open the can, the sauce is slightly dehydrated. It's, like, a little thick. If you put it into a bowl and just add a little bit of water to it, it gets better, actually. It loosens up.
I like it thicker, though, because I kind of feel... well, that was the reason that I never liked SpaghettiOs, like the Franco-American stuff, because I thought it was too runny.
Well, when I was having those, it was too thick. I'm not talking about a lot of water. I'm talking about a few drops of water.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot, just a few drops, and it gets a little bit better. And the same thing would happen with MREs. MREs are slightly dehydrated. I think they're kind of shy of water when they cook them in the can as part of the preservation process.
Yeah.
If you add some water to it, it tastes a little less canned. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, Stardog78 said, I was a beef ravioli fiend growing up. Yeah, I like the beef ravioli, especially like the extra stuffed ones when they came out with that, and the spaghetti and meatballs. My grandma always had them because we always stayed at my grandma's over the summer when we were out, like, because she babysat us. And she always had tons and tons of Chef Boyardee there, and I had one for lunch, like, pretty much every day for years and years.
You got your glasses on. Read what the, how many calories per can, how many protein, how much?
Serving size per can.
Per can, yeah.
Is 320 calories.
That's not bad.
And it's 425 grams is how much is in there.
Okay, and how much protein?
Nine grams.
In the whole can?
In the can.
Okay. Yes. That's not great, but that's not bad either. Some stuff has none.
And 8 grams of fat.
Okay. How much carbohydrate?
52 grams.
Yeah, a lot of, it's energy. A lot of calories.
Yeah.
A lot of energy. But still, the calories aren't that bad. 300 calories, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you could eat this whole can, and that's like a reasonable calorie count
now, the
for
whole
lunch.
Can. How many calories is the whole can?
The whole can?
Whole can of meat.
Wait a minute. Serving size, 2 ounces. Okay, so this is supposed to be 8 servings.
8 servings. They don't have a whole can's worth then.
No. Okay. It's 100 calories per serving. So this whole thing is, what, 800 calories?
About 800 calories,
is that what they're telling? Okay.
That's a, okay. And how much protein?
9 grams for...
Per serving.
Per serving.
Okay, so...
For a 2 ounce
90
serving.
Grams, more or less 90 grams of protein for the whole can.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's 10, right? Times 10?
Yeah.
All right, how much fat?
Or 8, no.
Not 8? Okay.
There's 8 servings in here.
Okay.
I love this. It says, to serve Bristol ham...
Yeah.
To serve cold... Remove Bristol ham from can. That's important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't just go...
Yeah.
Slice for sandwiches or hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
Thank you.
In the military, what we would do with something like this is you'd put it over a damn engine compartment of a machine that was running, and it would just heat up slowly.
Tila wants to know how much sodium is in there.
Probably a lot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
620 milligrams. That's 26% of your daily sodium intake.
Yeah.
For one serving.
For one serving.
Yeah. So this whole can is a salt bomb.
Yeah. It's okay, though.
Yeah. It's got smoke flavoring in it, too.
Yeah, when you're military or survival situation, you're not really worried about what it is per daily, this and that, because in reality... If you were by yourself, you would just eat all of this in one setting because there's no way to store it. And you'd be happy that you ate that. You'd be like, oh, that was good. You'd sit around and then later on, a few hours later, you'd eat something else. You know, it wouldn't have as much protein in it, you know.
Yeah.
Some rice or something.
Somebody said ramen's good too, like a lot of ramen recipes. Yeah, we make a lot of, because ramen's really cheap. But you can do a lot with, you need to dress them up.
Like, yeah, you cannot survive on ramen.
Well, no, we were talking about recipes.
Recipes,
I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, I'm just saying I really like ramen with hard-boiled eggs and
vegetables
in it. It's really, really good.
Yeah. If you look on the back of the ramen, you'll see that it has no nutrition. It has no nutritional value. You could starve to death eating that.
Has a lot of calories, though.
Yeah, just calories, but you'd starve to death. There's no nutrition in it.
And Tila said we have a ton of packaged tuna. Yeah,
I
like tuna. Yeah, you can get that in the dry packs, or you can get it in cans. And
I got a bunch of that. And the chicken.
We got lots of canned.
But ramen was really kind of designed in Japan right after post-war. They were having a problem getting their hands on the rice that they liked. The U.S. was feeding them a bunch of barley. They didn't really like that. So a company came up with some way of making instant noodles. And from day one, they were dressing those instant noodles up with things that the U.S. government was giving Japan after the war. The main thing that they were getting was spam. Spam and vegetables. So ramen was never designed to be eaten on its own. It just came with a flavor packet and everything. It was a futuristic food of its time.
I mean, when I was broke, like sometimes for lunch I would just eat it, like, you know, with the flavor packet, like just eat it as a soup. But it's much better if you tarted up with eggs and stuff.
We took it to the field in Korea. But we just kind of ate it as a soup, and we threw stuff from the MRE. We threw MRE stuff in it.
It's good with thinly sliced pork in it as well, because we've had it like that also. But my favorite thing to put in is hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And like any kind of veggies and stuff. Yeah, that's what David June said. Ramen is a basis for a recipe. It's not food in itself.
Yeah, it's not food.
Like I said, when I was broke, and it's like, because, you know, they were, what, 10 cents or something?
Yeah.
Like, you just eat it as a soup because I didn't have any money. But, you know, it's much better, like, to put
stuff
in.
It was a rice substitute.
Yeah.
The Japanese, you know what I mean?
I actually like noodles more than rice, generally.
Yeah.
I like rice, too, but in certain applications. But if it's, like, a choice between rice or noodles, I'm usually going to go with the noodles, you know? Oh, man. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, I guess we're done.
Camp Guy says, oh, tuna salad. Yeah, celery, apples, mayo, mustard, walnuts, onion, peppers. We've made, remember we made that tuna salad one time with those green apples in there and nuts and stuff. And it was, and I think there was cranberries in there too. And that was like really, really good.
In a pinch, now I've learned this, man, from the fucking service. And a lot of you guys are infantry. Some of you guys are infantry. Ex-infantry. You have to be able to eat it on its own. It has to taste decent when it's frozen. Like, it sounds crazy, but sliced ham, or like that ham, we ate that same thing. It came in our MREs. It was just called ham slice. It was a big old fucking ham slice. About an inch thick. We loved it in Korea because it was good frozen. Because your MREs are all fucking frozen.
It's like a hamsicle.
It's 40 degrees below zero in the winter. It would crunch and it would have like a nice... I heard Eskimos describing fucking what whale blubber tasted like and when it frozen. It was good when it was frozen. It's not good when it's heated up and different things. And you know exactly what they're talking about. There's a certain texture meats get when they're frozen. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Ham slice was good frozen. Another thing that was good frozen was tuna and noodles. Some of you guys are like, what? Yeah, the tuna and noodle MRE.
I can see that.
Yeah, it was wide egg noodles with tuna in it in a white cream sauce. I think it had some peas, green peas in it.
Yeah, I think tuna that it usually is.
Yeah, and the MRE was a flat bag, and when you ripped it open, you could push it up like a popsicle, and it was thin. Wide frozen thing of them tuna noodles, you can bite pieces of it off and chew it, and it was delicious. When you're fucking freezing cold and hungry, you wouldn't believe how good frozen tuna noodles is. It sounds disgusting thinking about it now, but it didn't sound disgusting back then. We loved it.
It does, but then when I thought about it for a second, I was like, no, you know what, that might be good.
It was real good. Real good. Some of them weren't as good frozen, like what is it? Barbecued pork and rice that wasn't very good frozen. Kind of think of another one. Okay, the one that everybody hated was chicken a la king. Chicken a la king was better frozen than it was hot. Because you couldn't taste it. You couldn't taste it as much.
Because you couldn't taste it.
Yeah. Chicken a la king didn't have a bad taste. It just was very generic. It was just 1980s white. No, remember back in 1980s, if it was white, it just all white gravy. It just tasted
like not terrible, but they all just kind of tasted bland. Like they don't really taste like much of anything.
Yeah, white stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, white gravy. You know,
I was thinking
kind of like okay, you know what it kind of tasted like? Kind of tasted like Campbell's mushroom Campbell's soup, but even more bland.
Yeah, that's what I was imagining.
Yeah.
I was gonna say also ramen noodles. This is another weird thing that I like to do every now and then. I take the ramen noodles and kind of crunch them up a little bit, and I put them in, you know, Progresso makes that Manhattan clam chowder soup, like in the can.
Yeah.
And I heat up the can of the soup in a pan, and I put the ramen noodles in it so it thickens the soup up, and it's actually really, really good. It's good in the chicken noodle, too, but I think it's better in the Manhattan clam chowder. But the chicken noodle's all right. Blearded Dude said, I have to check out these Dollar General Dollar Tree food challenges. Thanks, Jenny. Yeah, there's a bunch of different channels that do them. There's one girl. What's her name? I think her name's That Lisa Dawn or something like that. And then there's one called Frugal Fit Mom. and stuff like that. But yeah, just do something like Dollar Tree Grocery Challenge or something like that. There's like a bunch of different people doing them. And I don't know why I don't even remember how I started watching them, but I actually got really fascinated with how they can spend $10 at Dollar Tree and yeah. like, and then they show you like what they got, you know, they got 10 things and then they make meals like all week for one person for $10.
I had a bad feeling, man. Today I was up there at Publix and I'm sitting there looking at the damn fucking pepperoni. And next to the pepperoni were some dried bacon bits. And they got a woman standing next to me. She's about 50, looking at it. She's a little country munchkin. And she goes, boy, them bacon bits, they want a lot of money for them. And I'm saying, I know. And I said, I got a bad feeling about this. She goes, yeah, me too. This is too expensive. And I was just like, and I said, yeah, this is New York prices. And this is Florida income with New York prices. He goes, yeah, if you can find it. And she was thinking the same thing I was thinking. The variety just wasn't there. The foods that you took for granted just aren't there. And we're in Florida. This is like best case situation. Now, if you go to multiple stores, you might find it. It's just that the convenience of it being in one store is not there anymore, which is there's some disorganization going on. I want to go look at down Walmart and see what...
Where is even the closest Walmart around
here? You go down here and you go down to the light and then turn left. It's over there near where the Lowe's is.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to go to Walmart.
So that's not super far.
And see what's going on at Walmart. But then going to that Dollar General store, you'd find good deals like this.
$3
can of ham.
It's like sometimes they don't have some stuff. Like they'll be like empty shelves. But then sometimes you're like actually surprised at the shit you can find in there.
If this was at Publix, they'd probably want $5 for it. For the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was where everything's centralized in one convenient place. And then up the road, I got a guy selling skinned rabbits. And you pick fucking vegetables and shit. So it's... I'm in a good situation, so I'm trying to extrapolate. Well, I bet you it's bad in certain areas here in the U.S. when it comes to fucking trying to find a specific food item.
Yeah.
Depending on where... And I bet you it's all local. All depends on where you are and what the situation is in that area.
I mean, I feel like most of the time...
We were spoiled, man. We were spoiled back in the way it was where you could get anything you wanted anywhere at any time.
I kind of feel like... We haven't had too much trouble around here. I mean, between... The closest things, the Dollar General is, like, right there, like, right next to our neighborhood. And then about a mile up the road, there's a Publix.
Yeah.
And between those two places, we can find most things.
Yeah, but then I went over there and I was looking at a dozen large grade A eggs at Publix. They wanted, like, $3.40 for a dozen eggs. When just about a month ago, that was about $1.25. And matter of fact... Looking back a couple years ago, that wasn't even a dollar, about 97, maybe a dollar for a dozen eggs. It's not good.
Well, it's not like there's anything I can do about
it. No, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm just saying, Pookie, it's not good, Pookie. She's looking at me going, I know it's not good. She's always this little white, black and white striped fucking...
The little mousies?
Mouse, but yeah, she's always got one in her hand. Always the black and white striped ones.
She likes all of the mousies, but I think the black and white striped ones are her favorite. We thought maybe it was because she could see it better because of the contrast.
Yeah.
She picks it up by the tail and shakes it around, picks it up and throws it and shit like that. It's like super funny.
Yeah, we're talking about these.
Yeah.
These.
Yeah.
Yeah, little, she loves
little
those.
Mousy.
Yeah.
Auntie Ilsa's hat.
Sent those, I think. Like all the thing. Well, now I'm getting cold again.
Okay.
I can't.
Just because I got the fan on.
I know.
All right, people, I guess we get back to more, unless they got any questions or if they're still talking.
Yeah, I think, because I'm getting kind of sleepy. And
all right.
I got, because like I said, I'm still hungover, so.
Okay.
I did actually, I'd never do this. I woke up this morning at my usual time. I don't even remember what time it was when we got home last night. It was late. And I went right to sleep. And then I woke up at my usual time, which was like 7:30. And I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm awake. And I got up. And I made a cup of coffee and had a cup of coffee and a granola bar and farted around on the computer for 5 to 10 minutes. And then I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm still tired. So I just went back to bed and then I slept till like 11 o'clock, which I've never done. But it's just, I'm glad I did. But because I would have probably felt even worse than I do right now. But I don't feel terrible. I'm just, like, really, really tired. So tonight we're going to have to figure out a movie to watch that we can talk about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so that'll be good. But this was fun doing the sidetracks.
Yeah.
I just figured, you know, we didn't have a movie to talk about, so fuck it. We'll just talk about whatever. You know. All right. So anyway, thanks everybody for dropping by and hanging out on this Sunday with us. Have a good rest of your weekend. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.